We all know that women are not funny. And no one proves it better than Kay Ballard, the accidental lawyer who is the accidental host of our show. Of course, every accident that Kay Ballard encounters is intentional. And now her intention is to accidentally disprove the show's premise. So sit back and enjoy a fun conversation that matters between Kay and today's fabulous featured guest. Welcome to Women Are Not Funny Radio.
Hello, this is Kay Ballard, and I'm so glad that you're with me today for the New Year's edition of Women Are Not Funny Radio. Yes, we're starting our third season, and we're celebrating New Year's. I think we're a little bit late. I think it's kind of award-winning procrastination. And I'm here ready to receive that reward. So here's what happened. I want you to know this story. Not because I'm proud of it, but perhaps you'll understand. You see, I devoted an enormous amount of time in the month of December to the very important and worthy task of feeling sorry for myself. I actually did a very good job of it. And it was time-consuming and possibly of questionable value, but I decided that I had the chops to be really, really good at it. And I think I proved it. I wasn't really unhappy the entire month. I would have periods of as long as 20 or 30 seconds where I felt pretty cheerful. But the rest of the time, I was working hard at feeling sorry for myself. Now, despite that, I felt like there was some merit in putting together a show, a New Year's show, devoted to New Year's resolutions. Because, let's face it, it's a cultural tradition that most of us honor. And I know I certainly do. I always have New Year's resolutions because I believe that the beginning of a new year is a time of reaffirmation and creation and planning and hope and all of those things. So I had this fabulous score of a wonderful guest for our New Year's show. And our plan was to pre-record the show, and we did so early in December, or certainly before, at least a week before Christmas. And the plan was that on December 26th, we would start running the show, and it would play through the end of the month. And the fabulous guest who agreed to come and talk with me about New Year's resolutions was Dr. Gabby Cora. Just a fabulously accomplished woman who is accustomed to helping people at the very top of the executive food chain, helping them with issues of wellness and health and controlling the stress in their lives. And she's perfectly suited for that because she is actually a psychiatrist who also has an MBA in her own company, so she knows business inside and out. She's a leader herself, and she is a psychiatrist with a lot of focus on health and how that pertains to one's psyche and mental health. So not only that, she has a fabulous sense of humor. And I was so excited about having her as our guest, talking with her and letting you meet her as well. So we recorded the show, and I knew that there was this possibility because I admire her so much, and I knew I'd have trouble really actually making fun of her and being silly. And I have to tell you, after all was said and done, the show was not funny. Now, you're quite accustomed to that. You know that here at Women Are Not Funny, we very rarely disprove the premise. I mean, it's hit or miss. And you're so patient with me about that. But I know at some point you're thinking, Kay, get a grip. What's the matter with you? Why do you think you can have a comedy show that's not funny week after week? I'm starting to be sensitive. You know, I understand. I have obligations. I'm trying to meet my obligations. And I just thank you for your patience with me. But I was terribly, terribly disappointed that the show wasn't funny because it had so much promise. And our guest is stellar. So I have to tell you, I had a plan. I said, I am going to learn how to do sound editing. I'm going to edit that baby like I'm NPR. Now, I don't know how to do sound editing. And I thought, well, that really is just a problem to overcome. You can learn how to do it. And the reason I thought I could learn how to do it is that for years, people have told me over and over again, oh, it's really easy. It's just like word processing. You just open the program, you highlight the parts that you don't want to include, you delete them, and then you stretch everything out, you drop things in. Oh, it's so easy. It's so easy. And I think it's probably easy. I mean, sort of easy. I've done it a little bit badly. And so I know how the programs work. And I have, you know, I have all of the professional programs for doing it. So that was my plan. I'm going to learn how to do it. I said, I might as well learn how to edit audio. Because after all, I'm in radio. I produce my own show. In fact, you should know that my company, and we're very excited about this, we're ramping up our radio production. So we're going to soon have half a dozen shows. Fortunately, for everyone listening, I'm not going to be on all of them, but we're going to have some amazing shows. And so I thought the time's right. Learn how to edit audio. It's, you know, it's a good skill for you to have. But remember, I also had other obligations, including spending time feeling sorry for myself. And that was very time consuming. Okay. And I just didn't want to neglect my responsibilities to do a thoroughly good job of that. So I never got around to it. And that was terribly disappointing. You know, and I have to tell you, you probably are wondering, how was I going to explain it to Gabby? Did I call her up and tell her, oh, Gabby, I am so sorry. I'm not going to run the show as we had planned because it needs to be edited. I haven't gotten around to it. Did I tell her? No. I mean, I was just chicken. I was just embarrassed because the woman had given me so much of her time. And she's just delightful. So I thought it would be better for me to just avoid things and compound the guilt and add that in with the my duties to feel sorry for myself. So that way I could feel guilty and pathetic and really feel sorry for myself. And I did. And you know, I think you'd be proud of me, the energy I devoted to it all. Okay, so here's what happened. I finally made the decision to hire an actual sound editor for my company. And his name is Aaron, and he's terrific. He's a musician, but he also does sound editing and voiceover work and all sorts of things that are useful to a company like mine that is into new media production. And so I'm just thrilled that he was able to help me out and throw this thing together. Now, it's not NPR, you know, because I'm an accidental lawyer, not really a radio star unless I am. But I think the result is just a whole lot better. And I think what you'll find when you listen to things is that Gabby is a very warm woman with a very good sense of humor. So the fact that our show wasn't funny has nothing to do with her comedic skills. She was just stuck with me as a host. Now, the purpose of our show was to talk about New Year's resolutions, whether they're a good idea. And if they are, maybe what's a good framework for doing them. And so we did. We talked about those things. We also talked about two of her books, which are both about leadership, but in different ways about leadership. And we talked about her framework for a healthy lifestyle. And it was something that I had determined I wanted to build my own New Year's resolutions on. So anyway, I offer you the opportunity to meet the fabulous Gabby Cora. We'll start with the show and you'll see. We start off rather strong.
You know, Gabby has garnered the attention of mainstream media and has been featured and interviewed on all sorts of national television shows. She's written articles for major publications and been interviewed by many of those publications as well. But I have to say that despite all of this positive attention from mainstream media, Gabby is not unaware of the prestige of being a guest on Women Are Not Funny. And that's why she's here.
Gabby, are you using your appearance on Women Are Not Funny Radio as a stepping stone for something better?
Absolutely, I should. Why not, Kay?
At least we know. Here's what I really want to know. And Gabby, I'm not paranoid. I mean, you're a psychiatrist. You're going to be able to tell. Is it possible that you are trying to take over my show? And the reason I ask that, on your website, when I click on the Dr. Gabby Show, I get a 404 redirect. It's kind of, it looks like it's a homing place, and maybe you're planning to take over my show.
I would not be able to do that. It would never happen, Kay. If anything, we should link the shows.
Well, we are apparently linked. Here's what I want to know. Alpha female. I think I know what one is. What is an alpha female?
Well, you know, everybody says that in order to be a leader as a woman, you need to be a big B. And I happen to not agree with that. I happen to think that there are great women leaders just like there are great male leaders. And what makes a great leader is someone who wants a greater good for everyone that they lead. So that would be their driving force. And they would be honorable in terms of helping people grow. And they would try to get the very best of their employees so that everybody can work together into a better tomorrow. And I call those alpha fees in the book. Now, on the other side, we have the alpha Phoebes. And the way that I would describe alpha Phoebes would be women who are very scared about someone taking their position. So they tend to backstab before they get stabbed because they're really worried that someone's going to take over. And they tend to be very, very moody, going up and down, a little bit like a Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing. One day they're smiley, but on the other, on the other hand, they can be really nasty. So people don't know exactly what to expect. So there's very many different ways to talk about these two different personas, the alpha fees or positive leaders and alpha Phoebes or negative ones. And I try to look into this very serious subject with a lot of humor. And that's how I would suggest for us to think about the alpha fees and alpha Phoebes.
Well, I have to tell you, Gabby, that Women Are Not Funny Radio is a mother-friendly show. Okay, so we are very accustomed to the idea that someone might be referring to a bee and, trying to guess what that could possibly be. But you actually called your book Alpha Female, Leader of a Pack of Bitches. That takes some courage.
Full title.
Yeah.
And strategies to become an outstanding leader. And so in a very serious but humorous way, I'm addressing the issue that many people don't want to even talk about in public, but many people do talk about behind the scenes. So my real premise here is women don't need to be a bitch to be a great leader.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of the things that I think women know who have stepped into the leadership light, that it is an easy thing for people to accuse you of. I kind of think the whole idea, though, of an alpha female, I think it sounds great. I think it's I think it's a good thing. You pointed out that most leadership books are actually written by men. It almost seems to be the rite of passage of a successful corporate leader, male, to write a book about leadership. Are you really a leader if you haven't written that book about leadership? What would you say about that?
That is so true. Most leadership books are written by men. Sometimes people have also assumed that because I'm a woman, I would write a leadership book just for women. And interestingly, the alpha female book, I must tell you, it's loved by not only women, but men as well. I've had men buy the book and tell me, I'm buying this book for my girlfriend, wife, sister, whoever, but I read it also. You know, it's like they would not pass the opportunity to read it, not only because it has a killer cover, but because it's also funny and attractive in other ways, too. And my other book, though, ExecutiveHealth.com's Leading Under Pressure, is a book for both men and women. And the interviews that I included in the book, I try to make sure that I included not only interviews of CEOs who are men, but also CEOs who are women. So I got half and half, which is
very unusual. I noticed that. Well, you know, I have this little sort of active imagination, I suppose, but I can just imagine a man thinking about the whole concept of an alpha female and saying, well, just aren't you just the cutest alpha female? You know?
Well, you know, it is interesting. When for young women, I became a doctor when I was 24 years old. And I would also, it was funny to see both my husband and I, we were both 24, we were both young doctors, we would both have a pager, and he would be asked if he was a doctor, and I would be asked if I was a nurse. And don't get me wrong, I love nursing, I mean, it's a wonderful profession, but it was interesting that people would just assume that because I had a pager, I would be a nurse, probably because I was a woman. So I think it's interesting and a little more challenging, particularly for young women who may look nice, and they have to work a little harder on making themselves seen as young professionals. Yeah,
yeah, and establishing authority, I think, is what you're talking about. But, you know, I'm so glad that you mentioned this because I just want our listeners to know. This is my theory, Gabby, and you can tell me, you know, how close I am. Okay, so you find yourself at age 24 with a medical degree with honors and two babies, a little boy, a little girl, and you realize that no one is ever going to like you
because I tell the myth that you have to either have a family or a profession, right?
Well, no, that you're just so, you know, you're just so incredibly accomplished at age 24, no one can touch it. So you just decide to go forward and get an MBA, have a highly successful career, both in the corporate world and in also in the larger world with your speaking and writing and consulting at the very highest level. I mean, it's just really, really amazing. Some people would say that that kind of power move is almost definitional alpha female, wouldn't they?
Well, I didn't want to miss anything this lifetime, you know. I wanted to make sure that I could have the experience of being married and having kids and having a profession and working in the federal government and working in the military and working in corporate America and being my own entrepreneur and consultant. So I wanted to have a little bit of everything. I'm not a lawyer, see?
I understand that, but darling, you even had to go to law school for a certification. You know, you just couldn't leave well enough alone.
Next, we talk about her book and do a little name dropping. I express my surprise that she didn't have the courage to ask me to be featured in her book of leaders. You see, I would have done it. You know, I'm a busy woman, but I would have made the time, and I certainly know a lot about leadership, and maybe the next volume.
So this new book, though, as we were talking just briefly before we turned on the recorder, this is the newest iteration of a book that you self-published a couple of years ago, and you've added to it these interviews that go along with each chapter of business leaders that have a lot to say about leadership under pressure. Just amazing.
And, you know, I'm so glad you're bringing this issue up. I had self-published Leading Under Pressure before. And when I did get the contract through John Willick, he's my agent, and through Career Press, I was very passionate about the content, and I give a zillion tips and strategies on how to increase your energy and improve your well-being. But at the same time, I became even more passionate when it occurred to me to interview these amazing leaders and bring a blend, integrate both the interviews with all these tips and strategies. And I think the book just came to a different level. I've interviewed the past CEO of the Coca-Cola company or enterprises. I've interviewed Donna Shalala, who's president at University of Miami and who was in the Department of Health and Human Services under President Clinton. And, you know, these interviews just brought a lot of life to the book, and my passion became even greater. One of the most exciting interviews I carried was to Nando Parado, who's a mastermind of the rescue in the Andes Mountains after his plane crashed in the 70s. And you may have seen the movie Alive, and he was the mastermind, again, of the rescue. I'm just so proud of how generous these people were to participate in the interviews. And this came as an afterthought. I already had the contract with Career Press. I was already going to rewrite it with the tips and strategies. And I just said to them, look, I've had this idea about interviewing these people. Would that be okay with you? And they were like, sure, our pleasure. So, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes you don't expect something. The interviews came very easily. I knew most people directly, and I had some warm calls through friends who knew some of the people that I interviewed. And with Nando, the truth is I was watching the movie on a Sunday, and I said, wouldn't it be just amazing to interview him for the book? Searched his email over the Internet, found him, sent him a message, and he responded within just a couple of hours saying he would be delighted to be interviewed. So you never know. You know, sometimes we just need to ask.
Yeah. No, that is very cool. Open. Well, were you, you know, and it leads me to this question. I suppose you were a bit intimidated by me that you didn't think of asking me. And, you know, chances are I would have agreed to do it.
Of course. Of course, maybe, Kay. I'm so sorry I didn't do that.
Maybe next edition.
Maybe next edition.
Here's what I want to know. You obviously, for many years, have been working with people directly who are at the very height of their career success. And then you interviewed some of these very high visibility people for your book. Did you learn anything that surprised you?
You know, that's a great question. I've learned so much from the people that I've helped, whether it's as a consultant, as a coach, or even as a doctor. And most of the tips and strategies that I had included in the book were more anonymous, you know, tips and strategies that I have used for years with the people that I've been helping. The difference with the interviews is that it made it open. So it was easy. There's some great quotes from the people that I interviewed. So, for example, one of there's many that I really love, but Donna Shalala saying that she once spoke to her staff and told them that the President of the United States didn't commend them with their responsibility just to have stamina, but to really work on their judgment. Like, the judgment is what was really important. So I just took in everything that these people said, and I think that it's going to be very helpful for other people who read about their experiences. They're very candid sharing of their experiences. One of the interviews is to Gary Hoover, who's an amazing and genius entrepreneur. He came up with the idea of the bookstore as a mall. Like, you know, you could go now to any great bookstore. You can have coffee. You can read books. It's a huge place. Well, that was his idea years ago. And when he had that amazing idea years ago, and he went to an angel venture capitalist, they thought the idea was great, but not as great, but crazy when they had to put the money in, and the first folks didn't support it. So his call on this is, well, what do you do? You know, do you cry for 30 seconds, 30 minutes, 30 years? What do you do? And I think that those are the pearls of having brought in those interviews of people who in real life had to make very tough decisions, in Nando Parado's case, life or death decisions. And that's why I think I am so excited about having included those. And I've also noted that for someone, what one of these leaders may have said may ring a bell, may really touch their souls. And for someone else, it may be something else. And I think that that's the richness of those interviews.
Oh, yeah. Well, they sound wonderful.
Oh, my goodness. That quote by Gary Hoover, that's exactly what I want to know. When do you give up? Do you cry for 30 seconds or 30 minutes or 30 years? He asked the question, did you notice that Gabby didn't give his answer? I suppose what that means is that we'll have to buy her book.
It occurs to me that in this book, you talk about handling stress, and your book is, you talk about the fact that when you are at this level, you're going to have stress regardless. And so it is a matter of dealing with it. And I just wonder, when you're working with the people that you are coaching for wellness, who, once again, are all at the top of their game, do you run into resistance? Are they there because they are ready to let go and learn from you? Or are they hard to work with because they have such a strong, if you will, leadership personality that was responsible for getting them to the top? So they pretty much understand themselves and think they know how to operate. How does that work?
You know, that's a great question. And I would say that it depends. In general, by the time they usually come to see me, it's because they've already tried other things that have not worked well. So I try to make it, put everything in a framework that where they realize that there may be some urgency for them to do something about it. So I think that may make them a little more open to really trying to resolve whatever big problem they're having. So I would say that by the time they come in to see me, I may have been referred to them. They may have chosen me because they know what I've done before. And so I try to engage their commitment earlier on. Otherwise, it doesn't work. And I respect people saying, well, you know, I really don't want to change this. And if I feel that that's a big thing that has gotten this person into big trouble, I will say, well, you know, I understand you may not be ready to work on this, but this is impacting on your health, whether it's emotional, intellectual, physical, big time. So maybe this wouldn't be the right time to work on this.
Yeah. So if I'm hearing you right, you actually won't work with everyone. In other words, you kind of pick and choose, and you work with people who are ready to do the work.
Absolutely. Right? Which some people don't understand, because honestly, it would be very easy to make money out of just staying with someone for months until they decide to change. I would say that I'm actually either very expensive or very cheap, because we start to try to make changes right away. And if I realize that someone is not investing their time, energy, and money in making the change, I will be very honest with them and upfront in telling them, look, this may not be either the best time or the best relationship or the best match at this time. And don't get me wrong, sometimes when I say that, they're like, oh, no, I really want to do this now. And then I will say, okay, let's give it a good chance. But if they don't, I certainly respect it. And the way that I put it is that leading under pressure effectively is hard work. It's not a one-time deal. Many times that I give presentations around the world, some people ask me, well, how do you deal in a crisis? What's the formula? And I'm like, to deal well in a crisis, you have to deal well with pressure on a regular basis. If you're not ready, if you're not fit to deal with daily pressures, it's going to be very difficult to deal effectively with a huge crisis.
It's no secret that you're an awesome muse. You know I'm telling you nothing but the truth. And you're pretty.
This is Women Are Not Funny Radio, and I am Kay Ballard. Today I'm talking with Dr. Gabby Cora. We're so glad you came by, and we want to thank our sponsor, Kindle Pimp, at kindlepimp.com.
Women Are Not Funny is brought to you today by Kindle Pimp at kindlepimp.com. If you like to read, and you know that you do, you will love the Amazon Kindle. Go buy yourself one today at kindlepimp.com.
Gabby, I love to talk about myself. I just find myself endlessly fascinating. So let me tell you this little story. This was some years back. This was about a dozen years ago, and my health broke down. I was actually fundraising at the executive level, and I had a lot of people that I was managing and traveling and speaking and doing all sorts of things, work that I loved and work that I thought was very important, and work, I'm sure you've heard this before, that I thought I was the only one who could do. Okay. And so I felt terrible. I mean, my health was horrible and I knew it, but I thought that's only reasonable because I'm working like a maniac. Why wouldn't I feel bad? You know, it stands
to reason.
Yeah, exactly. I'm completely worn out, but you know, look at the schedule I'm keeping. And so eventually I did actually, my health broke down and I was hospitalized and it was very serious for a few, you know, for a while until what they determined was I had a whole lot of things wrong with me and that, none of them by themselves were life-threatening, but altogether they kind of were. At any rate, one of the things that I encountered, and maybe I am just a tiny bit sensitive or was at the time, but all I could think about was when can I get back to work? When can I get back to work? That was what I was constantly asking my doctors, and they did not like hearing that. And my sense of things was that they thought it was very strange coming from me because I was a woman. I think they would, I mean, this is just a, you know, just my belief, but that there was some sexism involved in the way my doctors dealt with the fact that I really felt very strongly and concerned about, you know, when am I going to get back to work?
Well, there you go. Okay, and I have a question for you. What made you change your mind that you had to put health first?
I'm not sure I did, to tell you.
Okay.
The truth. But I mean, there were certain limitations that were placed on me just by my, you know, just by my circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But I know in looking at, and our listeners will know that our show notes link to a lot of different web properties of Dr. Cora, and you'll find them very, very interesting. But I know in looking at some of your things that you have written that, you know, you are very comfortable telling people you are not the only one who can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You have the wrong idea. The fact that you think you can work in a 24-hour loop is just wrong. And, you know, but a lot of people do try that, don't you find?
You know, it's so interesting. This is the era where everyone feels that they need to make themselves indispensable. But at the same time, it's really about working smarter and not more in such a way where you may feel caged into something that's affecting your health. And the problem when someone becomes a little bit too involved in some of these issues, particularly when your health is being affected, is that productivity will take its toll next. So that's actually one of the things that I discuss in Leading Under Pressure, how health and performance and productivity work as in a matrix. Actually, I've seen that many highly effective executives who work like two or three people at the same time, but start needing to take too much coffee to be able to produce more during the day, and then they start drinking more alcohol at night to sleep because they can't sleep. They're so wired. But then during the day, they feel like they have no energy. And when we're in our 20s or 30s, we may have a lot of energy, but as we age, you know, 40s, 50s, or 60s, it's really difficult for our body to keep up. So the interesting thing, and I know that during the recession, many people may be even more scared to do anything that could could challenge their indispensability at work, but it's really very important that we take a look at that so that you're not operating out of fear, you know, in terms of needing to work more or feeling that anxiety or nervousness, but feeling relaxed. So, for example, many people ask me, I'm very busy. I'm super, super busy, but I tend to be very relaxed with what I do. So although I may work many hours, I love what I do. So it doesn't feel like there's pressure of that feeling like, I'm indispensable or I'm the only person who can do some of these things. So I ask for help when I need it, and I realize that I can't do 20 things. I may be able to do 10, but if I can't do 20, I can't do 20. So it's interesting, and what I've found is that it's important for people to make sure that they're okay, that they're handling all these challenges effectively, that they're having fun and that they're passionate about what they do, but that they're also relaxed along the way. So I would say the barometer of feeling relaxed along the way is very important, particularly if you are healthy and if you are busy. As long as you're relaxed and you're not feeling like you're doing things because the world is coming to an end, then you're on the right track.
So now we know the truth. Gabby Cora is something of a slacker.
Here we are at a time of year where people are looking back and mostly, though, looking forward and trying to think about how they might frame the new year and their lives in the new year to be a little more ideal as we imagine it. Let's just start here. Do you believe in New Year's resolutions?
Well, I think it's important to try to look back and see and take a fresh look at all your accomplishments of the past year. And then I would say it's nice to think about two or three things that you would want to focus on during the next year. I'm a little concerned about some of the resolutions that people make over and over and over again every single year. And
there is that.
And that. Yes, and that they don't commit to. So I am for establishing goals. But I'm also for making sure that you're committed to that goal so that you can say, yes, I did it.
Well, here's what a couple of things that I've come up with. One is I have invented, this is a time of year for shopping, of course, and for bargains, looking for bargains. I have come up with a fabulous bargain, and I'm calling it Buy None, Get One Free. And that's what I consider my conversation with you, because what could be better than having one of America's foremost wellness and health executive coaches on the line to help me with my resolutions? And you know what I think I'm going to use as a framework is what you call the four pillars of health.
So Gabby has created this wonderful framework that she calls the pillars of good health. And here's what I love about it. It's very simple, very easy to remember, and very basic. Now, she and I talked about it, but once again, a little dry. So that's why I want to tell you, besides, I want the credit. Yes, Gabby Cora invented these four pillars of health, but I deserve some credit too for telling you about it, you know? And it's highly unlikely that I will ever attend medical school. And I'm kind of through with playing doctor. But today, you know, today I am the one telling you about the pillars of good health. So while Gabby probably deserves the credit, I'm going to take it. Now, what I love about this framework is it's so easy to remember. I even like its name, although it's a little bit confusing to me because I can't think of pillars without thinking about, you know, my porch on my Victorian home in Toledo, or about the pillars that you keep running into when you are in Rome. And I even think about pillars of salt, the story from the Bible. The story that my father and I enjoy laughing about. You know, when Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt? Could that really happen? Well, never mind. Anyway, the four pillars of health are simple to remember, and it just makes perfect sense. Remember, I'm the one telling you about them today. So the first pillar is nutrition. Eat the right stuff. And see, the reason it's so simple, I think for the most part, we know what the right stuff is, don't we? You know, we know. And so that's what you do. You eat the right things. You get plenty of nutrition and you eat the right things. So that's not really a terribly hard thing to do. And it makes perfect sense. And there's really no denying that it's a good idea. And in my own experience, if you eat the good things most of the time, you get in the habit of doing it, and then it's really kind of easy. So that's the first pillar, nutrition. Make sure you get sufficient food for energy, and make sure that you eat things that are good for your body as opposed to things that are not. Okay, pillar number two, and they're not, you know, these. Her system is so simple. Her framework is so simple. They don't have to be in any certain order. So, you know, it is possible that I'm getting them out of order. On the other hand, I'm not, because they're not really in order, right? So the second pillar is exercise. And according to Gabby, you simply have to do it. And she would say every day. And she would say probably it's a good idea to do something that kind of gets you in a rhythm, gets you in a zone. And so she's a big advocate of that and says, and I believe it's true, when we're not doing it, we're kidding ourselves. Because in order to be prepared for the stress that our demanding lives bring to us, we just have to exercise in order to accommodate that stress. Otherwise, we are very likely to develop health problems. It's predictable. So that would be the second pillar. Move. Exercise. The next pillar is, this one's the tough one for me. Oh my goodness, it's so tough for me. I'm going to give you a hint, okay? I'm going to give you a hint in song, and do not despair. I have no plans to sing to you. Instead, we have a wonderful song by a wonderful indie musician. You know how I love that.
Remember me telling you that my company has hired a sound editor? And his name is
Aaron James Lee.
He not only is a sound editor and a video editor, he's also a musician and composer. And he's a voiceover artist. So, Aaron, I ask you, would you do me a huge favor? Would you introduce the song by our featured indie musician guest?
Sure thing, Kay.
And now, this week's featured artist, Elva, When I'm Sleeping.
Only when I'm sleeping, I take pain and turn into a cloud. Taste the sweet. I'm kissing my tears away. My tears away. I wished upon the morning that you return and wash my fears away. My fears away.
Did you catch that third pillar? It's sleep. And for me, that's the most difficult. I am a dedicated and proven insomniac, and I just have the hardest time sleeping. Now, I told Gabby that part of the problem is that I just don't like to sleep that much. And I'm very involved in my work, and I have a lot of things to do, and I just can't wind down, and I don't want to wind down, and I come to realize I just don't even like sleep that much. Gabby talks about the importance of winding down before you go to bed. And she says, and I think she's right, that many of us who stay online a good bit of the time really need to break away from our computers for an hour or so before it's time for bed. So that's a good hint and a good thing to do. I pointed out to Gabby that one of the issues in my own life, and I think for many of us more and more, is the fact that we're doing business internationally. And so that being the case, a lot of times we have to actually hold business meetings at strange times. And I have experienced this so much in my professional life. And currently, my partner lives in New Zealand. So our situation is crazy. And most of the time, we have to meet at midnight for me and early evening for him. So that leads to some sleep issues. But one good sign is that we did own the domain name Cult of Insomnia. Let it go. We let it go. That's got to mean something, right? So here's the fourth pillar. This is a great one. Something that, once again, I may need a little help with. It's relaxation. It's just taking a break. Just calming down. Breathing. Maybe using that exercise for relaxation. But also, just cutting yourself some slack. Thinking. Maybe not even moving. Maybe not thinking too hard. Maybe doing something fun. So that's the fourth pillar. We have nutrition, exercise, sleep, and relaxation. Actually, when you think of them all together, it just sounds like a great recipe, doesn't it? And it is a recipe that was invented by Dr. Gabby Cora. Now, here's the thing you should know. She's at the top of her game. If there's anyone that you can afford to take lifestyle advice from, I think it's Gabby Cora. And I am the super genius who just brought you that advice. Well, here's something I think is rather exciting. Since this is actually the official New Year's show for Women Are Not Funny Radio, I think, despite the fact that we're in February of 2011, or maybe because of the fact that it is now February of 2011, I think we, you and me, are entitled to New Year's resolutions do-overs. And it's really such a cool idea because since we now are well into the new year, it permits us to sort of make our resolutions retrospectively, you know, with a lot of insider information about how the year is going. Now, Dr. Gabby Cora gave me some assistance with some very sensible resolutions, but I think I like these better. Now, I don't think she's going to approve. I really don't. However, she was very clear in stating her belief that it's a good idea not to overdo it with resolutions. In fact, she recommends that you pick out a couple of things that you want to focus on. So I have done that. I have selected two very worthy New Year's resolutions. And I just want you to know that, once again, you are entitled to a New Year's resolutions do-over. If you like my resolutions, you can join me or you can come up with your own, but these are mine. So in 2011, I resolved to become taller and younger. And I'm so excited about that because I think they're very worthy. Let's start with taller. You know, reputedly, once someone has reached their full adult height, and reputedly, I did this some years ago, once you've reached your full adult height, reputedly, you simply don't become any taller. But I am determined, so I believe that I will. I'm really prepared for this. I bought some various dietary supplements that, when taken together, are supposed to mimic human growth hormone, act as a precursor to human growth hormone. Now, you know, that's rather silly and speculative, but it's taking action, right? And the other thing I am determined to do is before I even get out of bed in the morning, assuming I go to sleep at all, when I wake up, before I get out of bed, I'm going to stretch. I'm going to stretch as much as I can. And that might help. I'm going to imagine that I have a balloon attached to my head and stand up straight always. I'm going to wear high heels unless they hurt my feet. And I'm just going to think tall. I'm just going to concentrate on growing taller. I think all of those things will help. You see, my reason for doing this is totally appearance related. I am no midget, but I am on the smallish side. And that used to be okay with me, particularly since my ex-husband, Fake Tom Brokaw, who is actually quite tall, 6'2", he was always enamored with the fact that I was tending towards petite. And in fact, he wasn't the only one. You know, a lot of men like a little woman. So I basked in my smallness. But in the intervening years, I can't help but notice that women who are taller look rather elegant. And here we're talking supermodels, but we're also talking about women who just have a few inches on me. So I think it would be a good idea to become taller. I truly do. And I'm determined. You know, I'm so determined. It is, after all, a New Year's resolution, and I am determined to achieve it. Now, my second New Year's resolution is to become younger this year. And once again, I'm determined and I'm rather confident that I can do it. And I think probably my method, the method I will use, and I've used it successfully in the past, I'm going to lie about my age. I'm thinking maybe in the course of the year, I'll knock off about 7 years. You know, that to me seems about right. So I'm going to become 7 years younger, and I'll do whatever is required, particularly, you know, lying about my age. Now, it is possible when I state my age, which I won't do a lot, but if I'm forced to do it, I'll just subtract 7 years. It's possible when I do that, that people will snicker behind my back. They won't bother me. I won't notice. You know, I'll just focus. I'll just plow ahead and be determined
to be younger. And I just think it's, you know, these two resolutions are going to have a great payoff, you know, and some people might think they're silly resolutions. They might think that it's a better resolution to eat more chocolate this year or to actually learn to speak Italian. But I'm really committed to my resolutions. And that, of course, will go a long ways towards me achieving my two goals, to get taller and younger.
So back to my interview of Gabby Cora. Obviously, I am a huge fan of this woman.
Well, when I talk about the importance of knowing your values as it pertains to your philanthropy, you are a walking example of that. One thing that you've let me know, and I think it's very, very exciting, is that all of the royalties from your new book are going to the health and wellness philanthropies involving young people.
That's correct. My passion is to help with help kids in the areas of health and wellness, with the thought of, you know, thinking that healthy kids and happy kids will have a greater chance of growing into healthy and happy adults.
Yeah, well, that's very exciting that you not only believe that, but you are able to back it up with something really tangible and make the connection between your book and the future of young people. You know, I have done a lot of reading about your work, and it is so, so amazing, particularly one of your articles, you were answering the question, can children be taught to be wealthy? Can you set your children up so that they're going to be affluent? And you talk about the importance of them being able to model leadership from a very early age. And so I think that's just the greatest connection.
Well, thank you so much. It's you know, I'm very passionate about creating an environment for kids to, you know, to have that joy and to be healthy and to feel well and appreciated in a great way, in which there's a lot of responsibility to give back as well, but where, you know, we can really provide for a great world, for their nurture and for their pure joy.
Well, see, one of the things that I would say, Gabby, is that they could do much worse than to just model you. Because you have just done the most amazing thing in terms of creating for yourself a career that is both substantial and far from ordinary. You are doing work in fields that are, you're connecting fields that are usually not connected. You are able to talk to business leaders in a very specific way because you are both a physician, a psychiatrist, and someone who actually has an MBA and who understands the world of work from the inside in a way that many physicians do not. So, you know, I think a parent could point a child to your own career path and not say you need to duplicate this, but you need to do some of the things this woman has in terms of carving out her own place in the world.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's been a great ride so far, and I look forward to continuing it in a great way. So, you know, looking ahead, I have such nice things, more things to do. So I'm very excited and passionate about that.
No doubt. And our listeners can learn more. Obviously, there are going to be links in the show notes, but if you are listening, you can go to drgabbycora.com. So that's drgabbycora.com. And there are so many resources on your various websites, Gabby, and I think people would find it a real treat. There will also be links to where they can order books both from your website and from Amazon.com and the other electronic retailers. You have just been a wonderful guest. I am looking forward to 2011 when I have the four pillars of health, and I'll report back, darling.
Oh, I'd love to hear back from you. Excellent. Thank you so much for your invitation.
You have been listening to Women Are Not Funny Radio, a New Media International production. On behalf of Kay Ballard, her fabulous guest, and the secretly hilarious Women Are Not Funny team, thanks for being here. You can listen to our replays anytime you please, but it's so much more fun when you're here. So join us again live next Friday afternoon for Women Are Not Funny Radio.